Behind every interesting person is a great story. This is Person of Interest with Natalie Jones.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Person of Interest with Natalie Jones. That's me. This week we have Santino Corleone. I'm not going to lie, we cuss a lot throughout this entire thing. This is your warning if there are children around. We use a lot of F-bombs, SH-bombs, all of them, you know? Santino is amazing. He's from Cincinnati. He is from Finneytown. He is a rapper. He is a family man. He has been on this hustle forever. His story is crazy and vast. We kind of only just touch into it. There's so many elements to it that we can only do what we could in an hour. Santino is currently supporting his family by living between L.A. and Cincinnati, and his songs are now getting a lot of commercial spots, which is bringing him a lot of success and only helping his career thrive, man. Support him. He's a great guy. He's a Cincinnati native. This is Santino Corleone. You know what? You say you don't like talking on stage. I was a stand-up comedian for 10 years.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk
about
that.
I did a lot of stand-up before I got this job. Growing up, I did a lot of speech things, was on the speech and debate team in college and whatnot, and I started doing stand-up kind of on accident, and then that's how I got comfortable on the mic.
That's dope.
Now here.
I'll put on my bucket list to do a stand-up set.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yeah. I have definitely, you have moments every time where you're like, this my life. Why did I make this decision? Did I choose to be here?
They say you bomb, right?
Not every time.
No.
First time, which is why I kept doing it. But I did bomb dozens of times after.
But it's got to be nothing then.
That's part
Radio.
Of it. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just like part of it. You bomb, it's just like, as I'm sure with some songs that suck, you know, it's just the same thing.
I've had just terrible sets, but you know, I'm so hard on myself, I'll be like, I'll get off stage like, oh, that fucking sucked. And then everybody's like, dude, that was crazy. And on the inside, I'm like, no, it fucking wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's good. But you hold yourself accountable.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That way you're like, well, you might think it was okay, but I know I can do better, and I want to give you something.
I'm never satisfied. That's the one thing that sucks about this shit. Like, even with all these new placements, I'm like, all right, cool, next.
We're moving on.
You know what I mean?
That's what you're going to keep progressing and keep going.
And I think the minute you get comfortable is the minute it's like...
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Well, then, so how do you feel about, like, these TikTok kids who have, like, one crazy blow-up hit, and then there's one kid that's, whatever his name is, who does the song. That song blew up, and he, like, dropped out of school, quit his job, did everything.
I hope he's got his business straight.
He's, like, 17.
I mean, but you got to get some people around you to make sure, you know, all that money coming in and stuff like that, the vultures start coming around.
You've got to be doing, I mean, I feel like Santino Corleone.
There you go.
Okay, so by the way, that means that you're like the mob boss, right?
What?
Yeah, he was the best one.
My mom may name me after a mob boss.
So your real name is Santino?
Yep.
And what is your real last name?
Lambert.
Lambert, okay. Yep.
The Sheepish Lion.
Yeah, the sheepish what?
The Sheepish Lion is a book, children's book. And when I was a kid, they used to be like, Lambert, the Sheepish Lion.
That's what I love about it. Your wife's name is Miranda Lambert. Isn't there like a famous singer named Miranda Lambert?
Country singer everywhere we go.
When her and I first became friends on social, I was like,
she gets the strangest friend requests because people think she's Miranda Lambert. And it's like all these like crazy country looking people. I'm like, yeah, they gotta be thinking you're Miranda Lambert for real, and they're not good at the internet. So just type in Miranda Lambert and she pops up and she's blonde. There you go. That's her.
People who aren't good at the internet, you know what sucks about it is so many of your fans are people who aren't good, like just in general in life.
Exactly.
Everybody's
and then they're like,
you know?
When did Miranda Lambert marry a rapper? Like, who's this rapper dude she's with? She's probably getting emails. That's so funny. Everywhere we go, though, even like the airport, I'll just sit there and I'll watch. And then, like, you know, when you give your ID to the person, they'll look down at your ID. Then they'll look up at you, and then they'll look down, and you'll look back up, and they go. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, what's the over-under? They're going to say something about your name when we go through TSA today.
Well, you guys are quite the eclectic crew. So.
Yeah, it's an event every time we go out.
I get it.
Anytime we go, everybody's gonna be prepared. Especially with the little one, he's the wildest.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta stay on your toes with
him. You can see it in his eyes. I've met him once. What is his name? You have three
Onyx.
Children, Santino.
Yep. Reagan is the oldest. Jackson and Onyx. Yep.
Gotcha.
And Onyx is the wild child.
He's a lot like you.
Yeah, definitely a lot like me.
He's kind of like a little spitting image of you too.
Yeah, sometimes I can't even be mad. I'm just like, Well, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Do you know what he reminds me of in, like, children like him? You know the movie Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah.
Remember Stitch? It's just like one crazy muscle.
That's it.
Like kids like that. I'm like, that's a little Stitch.
He's
good
on
luck.
10 from the moment he wakes up to when he goes to sleep. It's just like no in between.
And on and off.
I used to be like that. Just the older I get, I learned how to turn it off. Like, you know what I mean? But when I was young, it was 10
dude,
all the time.
Dude, how old are you now?
I'm 38. I'll be 39 in like 2-3 weeks.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. November 6th, yeah.
Accomplishing a lot before you're 40.
Yeah, before you're 40. I don't even feel 40. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm in my 20s.
I feel the same way.
Even with three kids.
Dude, is that like, I don't have any kids yet, but I am 35, and I feel like I'm getting younger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, as I get older, things are getting better, and then you, like, understand life and the world more.
Yeah.
So you can appreciate things more. You can make better decisions. Because when I was younger, I was living in New York City, like, 19 years old, all by myself, like, so I was making a lot of wild, dumb decisions, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of, I did make some good decisions because a lot of those kind of transpired to what I'm doing now, but it was like, I didn't have that filter to, like, yo, go sit your ass down somewhere right now.
Well, like, you're from Finneytown.
Yep.
Originally, and so when did you move to New York to become a rapper when you were 19?
19. I didn't even become a rapper per se because I didn't know shit about the music industry. I just wanted to leave here.
Why did you? Okay, and you just graduated high school.
Yeah, well, I went to school to become, or went to the Institute of Audio Research to become a sound engineer, and I didn't know shit about sound engineering either. Okay. I just wanted to get the fuck out of here, and it was like... So what happened?
Wait, was that school in New York?
Yeah, in Manhattan, close to NYU, actually, in Greenwich Village.
That's my favorite part.
So, the world opened up to me at 19, you know what I'm saying? And at 16, I showed my mom the advertisement for that school in the back of the magazine, a Source magazine, and I was only really attracted to the picture, and there was, like, a picture of somebody in the studio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be in a studio. Like, it was a big soundboard and shit like that. I was just attracted to that. So I was just showing her, like, Mom, hey, look at this. And then when I was 18 getting out of school, she was like, why don't you try out that school in New York? And I'm, like, so young and naive, I go, I can move to New York? Like, I had, like, the last thing in my mom's
permission. I remember that,
yes. You know what I mean? She's like, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. And I'm like, after that something clicked.
Yes.
I was like, I'm out of here. That's... And then just life happened.
Wait, but so, like, how long were you in New York?
Almost 10 years off and on.
You were in New York for 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't always easy.
No, I was homeless for about 3 or 4 months at one point.
Really?
Yeah, I got kicked out of my... at this point, I was at Long Island University in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in the dorms, and I was doing a lot of wild shit. So I wound up getting kicked out of the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
So rather... I didn't want to call my mom and be like, yo, I got kicked out of the dorm. So I just slept on the subway and would get up and go to school and stay with friends.
So when you were a college student, you were homeless.
Yep.
Did you ever sleep under the bridge?
No, I never slept under the bridge.
Did you ever sleep in an abandoned house?
I've slept in a park before.
Oh, how was that?
That was pretty spooky.
Did the cops get on you?
Nah, cops never get on. Nah, I wasn't Central Park. It was Fort Greene Park. But I would walk around Central Park at night because sometimes I would just walk around New York City because it's like I don't have shit to do. I don't have anywhere to be. Yeah. I don't want to fall asleep. I'm tired, but I don't necessarily want to fall asleep on a train just yet. So what I would do is like I'd walk around until I got super tired. Then I'd get on a train. Sometimes I wouldn't even have money for the train, so I'd have to hop the turnstile, get on the train. I'd just ride the train from one stop to another to the next. Then get up and go to class. You know what I'm saying? Or with my friend, if I could stay at somebody's house that day, I'd go to that neighborhood, hang out with him, stay there. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't want to wear out my welcome, so wouldn't stay too long.
And then you would go to school in Brooklyn.
Yep. And then one day, it was Easter Sunday, I want to say 2002, 2003 maybe, and I was sitting outside, and I don't know why, I was smoking cigarettes at the time, and I was smoking a cigarette, and I lit it, and I did like this, and something made me do this, and I stabbed myself in the eye with a cigarette.
Because you were that tired?
I was just that exhausted and just tired, and I burned my cornea. I scratched my cornea or whatever. So it's like this feeling where you can't, like if you poke yourself in the eye, so you know you can't open your other eye when you poke this eye. So, but that feeling never goes away. So I'm like sitting outside the school, like damn near blind. And my boy Sib, who's a friend of mine still to this day, And he comes out. He's like, dude, what the fuck's wrong with you? I'm like, dude, I fucking can't see.
I just fell asleep and my eye hit.
Yeah, a lit cigarette. So he's like, yo, dude, you got fucking issues right now. So ironically, there's a Brooklyn Hospital was around the corner.
Yeah.
So he walks me around the corner, and you never want to go to Brooklyn Hospital, I'm going to tell you right now. Especially if you got a gunshot. Like, they're probably going to let you bleed out in the waiting room. So I'm in there for hours, and I'm in excruciating pain. So at one point, I'm just like, fuck this. I'm leaving. So I leave and walk back around the corner to the school, and I'm sitting there, and the feeling's not going away. This pain is not going away. And mind you, I walk back blindly, so I'm like this the whole time, walking back. You see this dude walking down the street in Brooklyn. So I get back, and I'm there for about another hour. I'm like, this shit is not going away. I had to call 911 and take an ambulance a block around the corner.
Yeah.
That shit cost like $800. I got that bill. Like, what the fuck? So,
oh my God.
I just broke down and called my mom that day and was like, look, I got kicked out of my dorm, but I still been going to class. I just didn't want to call you and tell you. And she's like, she's pissed. So she winds up getting me up. Oh, this is funny. So she gets me a hotel in Manhattan for like the weekend. Cause like, yo, take a shower, get your shit together, you know?
Yeah.
So I go to sleep in the hotel. So this is the first time I slept in a bed for a while, right?
Yeah.
So I wake up because when you sleep on the street, you don't really get a good sleep because you got this one eye open thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a half sleep. So this is the first night in a while I get a good sleep. So I wake up and I don't know where I am. So I jump up super fast and I hit my head on the side of the table.
Oh my God.
So I'm just fucked up that weekend. Maybe I should go home. Like, nah, I didn't go home though. Like, I eventually had to go home. But nah.
Did you ever graduate?
No, I never graduated. I wound up not going back to school after that. Well, basically, excuse me, a guy who's a rapper, he's still a rapper, his name's Life, L-Y-F-E, he had a manager at the time, and he would always tell me, like, yo, call Ant, who is his manager. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Ant doesn't know me, like, I was just helping out, like, here, I was like, at the time I wasn't rapping, I was kind of like a manager, like, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. like, kind of helping out these rappers that I hung out with, you know what I mean, but that's kind of expecting myself, but I'm helping them out. And he had a manager, and he's like, yo, call him. I'm like, and say what? Like, I don't know this dude like that. I don't even had conversations with him on the phone. And so I break down. It's funny. This is so long ago. Life had, like, the first BlackBerry. I can remember him having a BlackBerry. Like, here, just call him. Like, yeah, man, I've been on the street, like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yo, just come stay with me and my family in Staten Island. So I wound up living over there in Staten Island for, like, a summer. And then a couple summers, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, one thing I think that is great about your story is you've had so much awesome support, and I don't want to call it luck because you create everything,
of it is,
you know.
Luck.
But like you have such a great support system, especially now with your wife and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you, it's pretty cool.
It's been hell to get to that point, though.
Yeah,
it really has. You know what I'm saying? None of this is overnight, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of ups and downs. I had to burn a few bridges, but.
Well, so when was the day, do you have a moment that you remember, like, when you wanted to, you were like, okay, I want to be an artist. Like, I'm going to be a music artist.
I think around that, starting to run around New York, because I was running around with rappers, you know what I mean? There wasn't too many rappers here back in the day. So it was like, who do you go to inspiration, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I was running around with these dudes who were, like, full-fledged artists, and just seeing them work. I mean, I met the guy who will become my manager at LIU, and who's an executive at the label I'm signed to now. So,
okay, can you tell us, for those who don't know, because I feel like I don't know, if you're a rapper or a music artist in general, mm-hmm. but if you aren't on MTV or whatever the equivalent is now, if you aren't streamed 1,000 times and you aren't in the media, you know, if you're not Travis Scott, you make money being a rapper.
You can make I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Don't let me. I'm not gonna get up here and like, yeah, it's easy. But yeah, I mean, like, the placement game and the sync licensing game, that's the future right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right now with the pandemic and people being on lockdown, there's the most people have used media.
Yeah.
And streamed media ever in the history of the world. You know what I mean?
Which,
because streaming media hasn't been around long, but this is the most it's ever been used this year.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, the projections are about to be nuts. And I'm signed with a label who distinctly does sync licensing and getting placements and stuff like that. So I'm in a great position. I mean, there's that luck part again. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's a grind. I've known them dudes that I work with now for almost 10 years, you know what I'm saying? I've worked with him in some fashion or another. Like I said, an executive at the label who was once my manager, and he was tour manager to the one of the founders of the label, you know what I mean? So it's just like this big circle that has been, we've all been intertwined with each other since 2002, you know what I'm saying? So
it's just, wow, it's been a journey for
you. It's been a journey. Somebody was telling me the other day, like, yo, you need a movie. I'm like, nah, fuck that. It's got to be a Netflix series because it's got to be so many seasons.
I was actually just thinking that, like, as I'm listening to you. I'm like, oh, boy, I cannot wait to watch this. This is going to be on HBO.
Yeah, it's got to be a Netflix or something.
This is going to be great.
Something with seasons.
So when did you, so walk you back. So then you're, like, living in Staten Island or whatever. And did you love living in New York? New York is the one place on my list that I have.
It's Mecca.
Well, I mean, just like in general, and like I love New York City, and I lived in all the other places I always wanted to live, except for New York.
New York is what created me as an artist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love Cincinnati to death, of course, born and raised here, but Cincinnati created me, or excuse me, New York created me as an artist, especially the time period I was there, because this is the turn of the century. It's still old New York. It's not gentrified New York. You know what I'm saying? I lived in a project, so shootouts, people getting killed. I didn't see that shit until I moved there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you go from Finneytown to a war zone. You know what I mean? So I saw that a lot. You know what I mean? So I was staying in student housing at first.
Uh-huh.
And me being a pothead, I got to go find weed. And, oh, there's the projects. So I befriended. I just used to sit by the basketball court because, like, you can't really fuck around in the projects out there, like, especially if they don't know you. So I just used to sit and chill on the basketball court because I figure, okay, this is the kind of focal point where everybody's hanging out playing basketball. I don't even play basketball, but I play basketball then because it's like, that's how you start meeting people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I meet this dude one day and I'm just like, yo, where's the weed at? And he just shows me where it is. So next thing you know, I'm hanging out in the projects and I meet this dude named Chris who's still there, still a homie. And, you know, we just get to talking and I wind up dating this girl. So I was in the student housing for 3 months, but I was only the Institute of Audio Research was a 6-month program. I was only paid up in the student housing for 3 months because that's all I had. So when that 3 months expired, I'm dating this girl. And her mom takes me in. And to this day, that's where I go stay when I go to New York.
That's awesome.
But to this day, it's my family.
Oh, that's super cool. So what happened with the girl?
She's still around. She's married too. You know what I'm saying? She's family. It's just a part of my, they're a part of who I am. You know what I mean? Like, my kids have been there and everything.
That's wonderful.
And my wife, all that.
That's super
cool.
Shout
out to my Gloria. Well, I call her Ma, so.
No way. Gloria's my favorite name. I can't wait to name one of my kids Gloria.
Gloria Cordova. She's probably watching on here knowing her.
Well, hi, Gloria. How are you? Can we call you Glow?
Yep.
All right. So you've had a lot of success recently.
Yep.
Well, I think, like, along the way, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of success, but a lot of commercial success recently, which is super, super dope.
Surreal.
So you had, first of all, earlier in the year, you had your song played on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Goat. That was amazing.
The TV promo.
And then what's the name of the song that you just had on Monday Night Football again?
Notorious.
Yeah, Notorious.
Yeah, I had to check because it's been so many lately.
I know.
I've landed like 5 in 3 weeks. I was like.
So, you know, so tell us more about, so I want to know those two songs, and then those are the only two that I know of. What are the other ones?
The ones that are out now, well, those two, Notorious and Goat, they've just been getting different placements for different things.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so do you write all of your stuff?
Yep.
I know. I've been listening to, I love your lyrics. You're super fresh. You're just super honest.
Thank you.
And like your flow, who would you compare your flow to? Hold on. Can I say who?
Yeah, go ahead.
First thing that comes to mind on some of your tracks, I feel like Kendrick Lamar.
Okay. That's good.
And then, on a lot of stuff, you have a lot of like, I feel like you keep the flow at the same consistency that's solid the whole time. And you're just like spinning out going, and I don't know. There's other, I would say like maybe like Chance the Rapper. Well, no, I don't really know.
I'll take that.
I can't. Who would you compare?
I never really compare myself to anybody because I think I have a distinct voice, so it's kind of hard to compare myself to people. People have told me I sound like, because I wouldn't say I sound like him per se, but people have said Nipsey Hussle, Ludacris, I never got that one, but because of my voice, Tone Loc.
Oh, I guess so.
The Funky Cole Medina.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
No, but I never thought about that, but yeah. But I guess so.
I'll take it. I like Kendrick, though. It's one of my top favorites too.
Yeah, and, you know what? All my friends who've worked with him said that he was just, he is better in person than you think
I've,
he is.
I've opened up for him too. He's super dope.
No way. Is he? Yeah. Is he such a great guy?
Yeah, I opened up for him and Steve Aoki at a festival in Athens, Ohio once.
Dude, how's Steve Aoki?
He was fun. He was hanging out with us and everything.
Yeah, he seems like a really great guy.
Yeah, he's
as
just
well.
Down to earth and normal. It's so weird when you're in those positions. It's like, these dudes are real people. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, I'm a real person too, but it's just weird to be in them situations sometimes. Like, I got that a lot when I was touring with Mac Miller, God Busted Dead. Like, he was just a regular kid too.
Really? Yeah. So you've toured with Mac Miller and Kendrick Lamar.
Well, I've opened for him.
Yeah, so, how was touring with Mac Miller?
That was crazy. I was wondering, that really.
What year was this?
This has got to be around 2010, 2011.
Dude.
Yeah. Right when he kind of blew up.
Yeah.
Because his DJ, DJ Clockwork is from here.
Yeah.
And me and Clockwork came up in the scene around here.
Nice.
And then when Mac would come here, well, his first show here, he didn't, like, have a DJ at the time. And the people who booked him were, like, intertwined with Clockwork. So they're like, yo, Mac's like, yo, can you DJ the show? He's like, yeah. And the next thing you know, he was, like, touring the world with him. And then Clock would call me like, yo, Mac loves you. I'm like, why are you telling me that? What's that mean? He's like, nah, you should just come out with us. I'm like, what you mean come out with y'all? Like, because I didn't know how that worked back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, just come out. Like, come out to one of the shows. I'd come out to one of the shows, and the next thing you know, I'd be riding the bus with him for a week or two.
Wow.
And Mac was just super chill, and it was so dope because it was like, I wasn't even supposed to do that. Like, if you know a thing about touring, you got to be insured on these tours, like, just to even be on the bus and ride from city to city, because if something happened, I could have sued, you know, which I wouldn't have. But he was just a kid, like, yo, come on, man.
How
like,
old was he?
When he first started coming around, he was 18.
Jeez.
We used to have him in the club, all that. Like, you know what I'm
saying?
Dude,
how does an 18-year-old white
kid
get all of this? How is he that
good? You know, rap's
good?
Gentrified now. Like, I always say that, too.
I mean, I know, but was he that? Do you think he's that talented? Did he have stripes?
He could rap, and then it's the difference when I say he could rap. Like, some people can rap. Some people are rap, and that's like what they know hip hop.
Uh-huh.
They know, you know what I mean? They know the elements of hip hop. They come from the core.
They understand the game for real.
He understood the core. Like, he was a rapper, but he was an artist as well. He played instruments. He played instruments on his music. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was more than a rapper. You know what I mean? And I think that's what carried him as far as what it did until his death. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
But he was just depressed, and I think he was like, and to be an, I kind of, not, I want to say I felt his pain, but I could see where the depression would come in because I think that you get to this point where you're like, you get everything you want. You know what I mean? Because I can remember, like, when you first start this, your whole goal is to get where he was at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you get there and you're still not happy. You know what I mean? Like, so I think you think, like, well, I thought that too in the beginning. That's one thing he taught me, like, yo, yeah. You could get all this stuff, you know what I'm saying? But once you get it, it's not going to make you happy. You know what I mean? You got to be grounded, and you got to be. And the money definitely don't make you happy. And I think he thought, in my opinion, I think he thought once you get to that point that everything changes, you're going to be happy. And all the things that you fought to fight away from will go away. But it doesn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? I think he fought with that a lot.
Really? Do you think that? I feel just like personal grind and hustle, like you love the anticipation of the accomplishment and going through the actions of it, and you're in the grind. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some people who love that stuff, like me, like I love being exhausted with work and accomplishing a lot.
Me too.
And like, I love it.
Me too.
And I feel like once you do that and then you get to a point and you're like, oh, well, I did it.
Where's the fireworks?
What do
That's
I do?
What I always
right?
say.
I'm
Where's
like,
the
how,
fireworks?
Right? No one has given me a gold freaking medal yet. Like,
you just get it. It's like, I learned that too, like, anticipation on dropping projects. Like, I write these songs. I go record them. I get the mix. I get the mastered. I promote that I'm dropping a project online and all this anticipation. And then you hit a button and it's released. And that's it.
And then it's like, done.
Okay, what?
How do you deal with being so emotionally attached to your work and going through like the highs and lows that you just experienced, that you just described right now? Like, there's so many elements to your job and to your work. And like, let me just put this out there that you support your whole family because your wife doesn't work, right?
Nope.
Well, she helps you a lot.
She's not working.
She's a housewife.
She does the kids stuff and all
that. But I've seen she's out there taking your pictures
definitely
and
there.
Stuff.
She works the merch tables on tour sometime and all that.
So you have three kids and you are the breadwinner and going back between two cities and stuff. So you have like you got a lot on your plate and you're super hustling and your work is your soul, you know,
right,
your lyrics and everything. So like honestly, how do you deal with that?
That is how I deal with it. It's the music.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic. So when I'm going, my boy Dre always says just put it in the music. You know what I'm saying? So I literally if I'm going through something, I can just go write about it and then release it. Yesterday I need it like. I was in a studio. I needed to be in a studio because, like, I hadn't been in a while. I'm like, I need to get some things out of my.
I feel you on that
my
for
space.
Sure.
So, I mean, in the highs and the low parts, like, that comes with this. You know what I'm saying? I think you're not going to be riding this wave the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a descent at some point. It's just how you react to that descent sometime. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are slow moments. There are moments where I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I going to do this week? You know what I'm saying? Like, like the last 3 weeks, I just landed 5 placements. They just came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't know what, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, shit, I need to get some more. I don't depend on my placements. You know what I mean? So I'm always constantly working and doing other things. Like, I can't sit back and depend 100% on my label. Like, yes, they do awesome work. They're obviously doing great work for me. But the minute I get comfortable in that situation is when I feel like I start slacking off and I can't slack off. So I'm constantly doing something.
Well, that's kind of the business, right? The business is the hustle. That's like
it is.
The
so that's what I mean.
Game.
And I feel like once you slack off, that's when the lows come. So I just try to work through it. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, I feel you on that for sure.
Yeah.
Have you always been a writer?
I want to say yes. Yeah, because I started writing raps when I was like 9.
Really?
Yeah, I can remember some of them.
Oh my God, can
funny.
You please?
Oh, I need to go ask
Can
me.
You even?
I know one. We kicked the tracks with our starter hats. We may be little, but we got a rhythm like rap. Like Tony the Tiger, my rhymes are great. I take a bite out of crime and spit it back out in the plate. I wrote that when I was 9 in 3rd grade.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I always wanted to do this. Didn't know I could do it.
What school did you go to in Pretty
Town? Cottonwood then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just like trying to like visualize
9-year-old wild ass me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I got a brother.
Okay.
I got an older half brother too.
Okay, cool. And so did your mom have a hard time?
I was a wild child. So
I believe
she had a hard time with me.
You.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a class clown. I was like the troublemaker in school. I was just gonna make the teacher laugh. And
yeah.
If I got
me too.
In trouble, I could just make her laugh out of the trouble.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she'll forget why she was mad at me.
Were you also similar in this? I somehow would finagle my way to like never follow the rules, but I never got in trouble.
Amen.
From like when I was a little kid, I was just like, I'm just gonna
like,
do this.
My
and
son's
just
the same right now.
It. Like,
and he's like,
it.
He'll try to like, but dad, just let me. And he's like, about to be 4. I'm like, no, just let you do nothing. Like, what are you talking about? You're not gonna negotiate with me. Like,
right?
There's no negotiation here.
Oh my God.
He's already negotiating at 4. I'm like, all right, he's on the right path.
He's,
he knows
it.
Don't take no for an answer.
He sees it. I think that's really cool is like to find like other people who are the same way, and I'm like, I feel you, man. Like
in high school,
real
I would
rules
get,
and stuff. I'm like, that's not.
I was
no,
so
no, no,
cool
no.
with the high school secretary that
dude.
She like. You weren't allowed off campus unless you were a senior. I was allowed off campus. I'm going to lunch, Miss Flick. She's like, all right, just get back quick.
I
got away with that. Oh, and lunch, and then the lunch. Shout out, Miss Edie, the lunch lady. They would let me behind the thing and just go make my own tray. Like, fuck the line. Like, so I was never waiting in line in. Like, I got away with that type of shit. It was like, yo, people are like, why the fuck did he get to do that? I mean, it's just Santino, man.
Right? But then, oh, dude, he's so cool. So you really are just like Santino Corleone.
Always.
Is that why you, did you
always
name yourself
myself.
That? Yeah.
No, well, when I started rapping, aunt who let me, going back to Staten Island, he's like, you need to rap. Like, they were pushing me to do it. And I think it was because they seen my personality and stuff like that. And honestly, I think they seen what is going on now. I just couldn't see it then.
Yeah.
So they're like, yo, you need to rap. You need to rap. And mind you, like I said, this is a different time in New York City. So there's a lot of gangster rap going on.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yo, you should be, He's like, yo, you should be Santino Corleone. I'm like, I'm not no fucking gangster. I can't fucking I'm not gonna do that. He's like, what's your name though? So like, I just became that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
then
but...
my mom gets mad one time. Like, she don't really get mad. She goes, why you use that? And I'm like, you name me that.
But she named me Santino before the movie.
Right,
came
like you named me after a monster. What did you think I was gonna do? Make my rap name Carl?
But you with that K?
Right.
But you know, like, hold on, but Santino Corleone, you're very similar to him though. He's fiercely loyal and aggressively.
That's what got him killed though.
Yes, and he's aggressively takes care of the people around him and does his job.
That's what got him killed because he's taking care of his sister. His sister was getting beat on by her husband, and he went and beat dude up and threw the garbage can on him, and then they had the other dudes kill him in the toll booth, and I always fuck with my mom. I'm like, you got me scared to go and do toll booths now. They just lit him up with a bunch of Tommy guns. Like, I seen that when I was like 6 years old. Like, she's like, yeah, this is who I named you after. I'm like, okay, but she says she did it because she had a crush on James Caan. When she was 16.
Is that the guy who played the original Santino? Oh.
James Caan.
Well, also similar to Santino is that I think I love glorified stories of the bad guy who's actually really good at heart.
I get that a lot. I'm usually the bad guy in this scenario. It's not in real life, but kind of going through that now behind closed doors, but it is what it is.
Okay.
I'm used to it, you know what I'm saying? And it's like I get enjoyment out of proving those people wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even sitting here with you and even being on air all the time, it's like, dude, I'd be on Q102. Like, you know what I mean? Like, can't be that bad of a person, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And I always be like, just look at the things I've done over the years. And
well, okay, like for instance, you have taught rap at MRC here in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit? I have coached as well, and it was my favorite job I've ever done. It doesn't pay the bills, and I was super young. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I had a lot of fun with it. But I loved it. How was your experience there?
It was awesome. It's just, I'm jealous of those kids because I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I had to go to New York City in order to put myself in those situations to be around those type of people, artists, kids who even want to. Nobody wanted to do that. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You going to New York to do what? Like, that was my people around me then. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, I got the last laugh, but now they got programs like that and everything's like right there in front of them. So I was really intrigued by that part of it. Like, damn, these kids got it right here. I grew up. Okay, so the school across the street from MRC is Hoffman Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
It's the back side of it is right there with MRC, and on the front side is Durrell. I grew up on that street before we moved to Finneytown. I actually broke my leg at that school in second grade.
Oh, no way.
Playing toss football with some kids. Some kid came around the corner and ran into me in a bike, and I broke my leg. So it was just really nostalgic being over there and just thinking, like, damn, this is basically my backyard at one point, and it's like, it was all right here. It's right here for them. So it's like, I'm so anxious to see, like, what these kids do with that type of, you know, motivation and tools, the studios right there in front of them.
Well, if anything, it's got to be a great moment in their life. They learned a lot from it regardless. And hold on, but that makes me think just totally off topic. So have you seen Killer Mike's Vice series?
Yep.
Okay, so there's one episode where he goes, and he's from Atlanta, and he goes into these inner cities, he goes into inner city schools, and he goes to the youth there, and there are all these kids, majority of them are black, and or other minorities, right?
Right.
And he asks them all, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? And they all say, like, astronaut, the first black female president. I want to do all these crazy things. And then you look, and then you pan over to Killer Mike, and he's like, no, we need to teach these kids how to, they need trades.
Right.
He's like, I don't believe that, like, the way that we're raising kids in this
it's
environment,
not realistic.
And this dream environment is like, he's like, it's not going to work. Like, you need to teach this kid how to change a tire, how to change the oil. You need to teach this girl how to be a teacher, all this type of stuff, you
know? That's what my stepdaughter is, they're doing virtual learning, and they, like, the other day, she's 12, so. The other day where they were doing a bunch of stuff on construction, and she was like, my wife's like, why they got them doing that? I was like, because these kids need to learn something other than what they know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can change a tire.
Yeah.
Like, thank God. When we were just on this cross-country road trip, I caught a flat in the middle of Utah, in the middle of nowhere. Like if I didn't know how to change a tire, we would have been screwed. Like, you know what I'm saying?
True.
Like, they need to learn everything, you know?
It's
my parents instilled that in me early, too. Like, kind of a jack-of-all-trade in that sense. No, I can't, like, change an engine or anything, but kind of, you got to know how to do a little bit about everything.
Like, you kind of know. You got to, you know?
I'm also 38, too. Like, that's a, I always tell people that, too. Like, dude, I'm 38. Like, I've been around a lot. You know what I'm saying? Been around a block a few times. Like, don't let the pretty face fool you.
Can I tell you about, can I just ask you just about Utah? So, when you drive through Utah, it looks like, I mean, can you see why in certain certain places in Utah they have the most UFO sightings?
Yeah, of course, because it ain't shit out there.
Exactly.
And there's nothing but stars and
exactly.
Shit.
But you're also, but then they're like these random trailers in the middle of Utah.
Like, who the
and
fuck
I'm like,
lives out there? That's what we were saying. Like,
exactly,
man, who the,
right?
That's a serial killer. It's
exactly.
Gotta be a serial killer.
Who are calling the government saying they see UFOs? I'm like, somebody's smoking meth in that trailer, and they're hallucinating, and they're like, I
some
see
some dude
a UFO.
Living off the grid and shit. Like, no, fuck that, dude. It's like. Then you, and then like growing up, I grew up watching Looney Tunes and shit like that. And you grow out that type of places in Utah and New Mexico, and you're like, oh, this is like where the Roadrunner is. I didn't think that shit existed. Like,
I
did a show in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I love Albuquerque.
And I was like, the only thing I know about Albuquerque is fucking Bugs Bunny. Like, how did I get here? Like, I didn't even think that was a real place growing up. I just thought it was something Bugs Bunny said.
Okay.
Like, must have made a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
I forgot that he said that.
Yeah, I just grew up like I didn't know that the place even existed.
Have there been moments so far in your career that you're like, whoa, holy shit, this is like my life. Give me a couple of them.
Touring with Mac, I've had a few of them. You know what I mean?
Like, what? Is there anything you can say?
Just being there and watching him come up. I mean, I seen a kid when they first came to start coming around, they had a 2-door Volvo.
Yeah.
The next year, they had a tour bus. The next year after that, they had 2 tour buses. The next year after that, he had a tour bus with a studio on it. Like, I just saw this dude's gradual, you know what I mean? So I had a lot of moments there like, dude, I can do this. Because I'm the type of person, if I see you do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that it motivated me a lot. But a few times on stage where it's a lot of people and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, when we did, when I opened up for Nelly and Aaron Carter at BB&T Arena.
How was that?
It was crazy because
I wanted to go to that show. I was working.
I got to do the, I had the light man because I'm an experienced performer. So I'm like, I go to the light man before the show. I'm like, hey, listen. I'm going to cue you. I need you to cut down all the lights on this certain song. So I had him cut down all the lights, and I had everybody pull their cell phones out and do the whole thing. So I'm standing on stage like, geez, like, this is what I dreamed of. Like, I've had these visions in my head since I was a kid. So it was like, I always tell my wife, too, like, I'm performing. You see me performing, but inside I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Like, how did I get here?
In that moment, did you have a feeling of, like, I want to do this again?
Yeah,
or like,
it's like a drug. Like, I need this again.
Did
like,
you feel comfortable? Yeah. Like,
no,
this
I'm
is
always
where
comfortable.
Be.
I'm the most comfortable on stage.
We're safe.
For sure. The most comfortable on stage. Like, the most happy. Like, I mean, I love my wife, love my kids, all that. But the purest happiness you will ever see me is on a stage rapping with a microphone.
I know. So how do you feel about, like, I mean, I'm sure life hasn't been easy, you know? And I don't like to really, like, level up in, or what is I'm saying? You know, artists are like, you know, you have to go through so much, and that's why you love being the most comfortable performing, you know? Do you think that speaks to you?
Because there's some people who don't. I've always been a performer.
Yeah.
Even in school, you know what I'm saying? The class come. Like, I've always been an entertainer.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a kid, people were like, you're going to be something. Like, always said I was going
to
be something.
You know what? I can disagree with you on that. People always told me to do all these things. Mm-hmm. They're just like, you, blah, blah, blah. But I was like
a
tomboy and an athlete.
It. That was my problem. Like, I didn't know. One, I didn't know I could. Like, it's almost a thing like you need permission.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't know I could. I didn't know. My mom always told me it ain't going to be easy, though. So it's always been instilled in me. Like, it's never going to be easy. So I never go into this thinking like, willy-nilly. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's just something I just think I'm supposed to do. I don't see me doing anything else.
Yeah.
I've worked jobs. I've either quit or got fired.
Yeah.
The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and
over
again
and
expect a different outcome. I'd be insane to continue to work a job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not working.
I feel like, I've had 65 different
100
jobs, and they were just jobs.
I've had 100.
Yeah.
At least 100 since I was 16. I've worked in every restaurant you can think of.
Same,
everything.
Dude.
Factories. I mean, when my son was born, I took a break from music and got a real job for the first time in almost 10 years.
How was that?
Listen. I'm a big fan of the universe telling you things. Like, so I was going through the whole, should I quit music or I don't feel like I should quit. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like I still got it, but do I still have it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm working in these factories. So I'm not going to go in these factories driving a forklift going, hey, I'm a rapper. I tour with Mac Miller. Because they're going to be like, motherfucker, you're in here with us. Shut
yeah,
up.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody hates that guy in line. I've
Everybody
worked people like that.
Everybody hates that guy. You're so like... I'm not going to be that guy. And so I'm going into these jobs and, you know, the internet's a motherfucker. So I'm going, I go in a one job one day and this girl's like, we know your secret. Fuck are you talking about? Like, you're a rapper, aren't you? I'm like, what the, how do you know that? She's like, dude, we seen your stuff on the internet. You're like famous. I'm like, first of all, no, I'm not famous because I'm in here with you.
Yeah.
But yes, but don't be going around telling people that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? These are little temp jobs. So then I wind up at another temp job. And the same thing would happen. It happened like 2 or 3 times. So I told my wife one day, I say, yo, I think the universe is trying to tell me something here.
Yeah.
Like, I think me even going to the point where I'm like, I'll get a job and I'll do whatever I gotta do to take care of my family. I think the universe gave me this back because I went to that. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I love you so much. We have so much in common. Not to make it about me, but
nah, for sure.
I was living in LA and pursuing entertainment, and that
you
was
know,
something.
I didn't know that. I didn't know the comedy thing. You told me about
that.
Sorry to cut you off.
And I did a lot of other stuff. Comedy is just a part of it. And I only went there because somebody signed me up to get an artist grant, and they're like, Natalie, you have to do this. Then they gave me a lot of money to go to do this thing. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was like, it got me out there, right? I quit that when my mom got sick, when I was like, I got to come home and take care of family stuff, you know? And then I got this job at Q102 less than 2 months of being home. The universe is like,
all
yo,
right,
girl, no.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think it was the switch in your mind. Like, you, because when you're an artist, you're like, fuck that, I'm not working. Me, at least, I'm like, I'm not working a real job. Like, I'll struggle whatever I got to do to not work a real job. So when I have a kid, I'm like, I'm not going to be the dude. Like, I got to take care of my kid. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And God bless my wife. She's like, in the beginning, I wasn't ready to be a dad. Like, I mean, when she first told me she was pregnant, like, I wasn't ready for that shit. Like, I didn't know it was coming. That was not in the plan. I was 34 years old. Like, so not in the plan to be a dad. So she gives me the option. She's like, listen, I love you to death, and I know this is what you need to do in life, so you can continue to do it, and I'll take care of the kid. I'm like, no, I'm not. That's not even an option. You know what I'm saying? So I think mentally when I got to that point where, like, I'll just work and whatever. If I give up, I got to give up. And the universe is like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
So I'm getting recognized driving a forklift.
Right?
I'm like, how the fuck is happening? You know what I mean? God, I've even been some negative low points in my life. I've even been in jail and been signing autographs. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, how the fuck did I wind up signing autographs in jail? Like,
oh yeah. My God.
It's been pretty crazy, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot wait for your Netflix series to come out because.
Yeah, you gotta get you. You gotta be a character in it.
That, like, for sure. The girl, I'm the one who made you wholesome.
Nah.
I put him on Q102.
You put me on the pop station. That's not rappers don't from here don't be on the pop station.
I mean,
and
well,
I always used to say
John,
this. I used to
sure.
always say this back in the day. Like you get a song that's hot on the urban radio, and then if you hear it cross over to Kiss or Q102, I say, oh, they getting big money now. And I just joke, like, now I'm on the pop stations. You know what that means? You know what that means. You know what I'm saying? But that's the longevity. Like, I love hip-hop music. Don't get me wrong, but I'm universal. Like, I always been the token. You know what I'm saying? So I just use it to my advantage in my career.
Same. But I've always been, just rapping hip-hop has always been my world.
Yeah, me too.
It's
me too.
Just, I just love it so much.
Since I was 2 years old, Roxanne, I can remember when my stepfather raised me, but it's my dad. But I can remember my parents were dating, and I was 2 years old. And I can remember this. I can remember sitting on where my dad's apartment was at the time, on the couch watching music videos and watching and for hearing Roxanne, I want to be your man. TKO Click or something like that. I forgot the name of them. But that was like some of my first memories. And then my mom used to tell me, like, yeah, I used to be with your dad, and, you know, we'd be trying to get it on late night, and I come down, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you up watching videos.
Yeah.
At like 2 years old. You know
dude.
What I'm saying?
Dude. Same, dude.
So I was like, that's all I know.
We didn't, all I would do was watch MTV and VH1, I guess, but like every music documentary I've seen, I was obsessed with rap, with all rap and hip hop, and then Rage Against the Machine, man.
Rage is my favorite.
Dude.
I was going to go this year, but the goddamn pandemic is on my bucket list.
Same.
to see Rage play.
Same.
But I want to see him in LA, like outside the Staples Center.
No way.
I want to.
Dude, what, okay, so remember when they broke up, then they got back together for like one show,
yeah,
whatever.
Like
and I was like
show.
12 years old, and I started crying.
When they broke up?
Yes, hold
Zach
on.
De La Rosa
but then they
one
got back
favorite.
Together and did like yeah. a show in like Oakland, and I started crying when I was so young, and I was a little tomboy, just like today, had a backwards hat on, and I just remember like crying to my
oh,
mom,
yeah, sure,
like,
right.
I can't even, hello. And I was like, and I was like, I can't, I was like, I'm never going to see them. Like, oh my God, this was their last show. And I just remember crying and my mom being like, what is going on? I was like, you won't understand.
You don't understand.
And then I moved to Colorado and I met somebody who went to that show. And I just like dated him. I just fell in love with him. He told me that he was there. And I was like, oh my God.
Just because he told you he was there.
Oh my God, then we're just meant to meet.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, dude, but Rage is for sure.
Yeah, Zach De La Rosa is one of my favorite. I mean, he's a rapper for real. He raps,
dude,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think right now we need them more than ever. Like, a Rage show when the world opens back up.
Agree.
Oh, my God. It's going to be, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, those just, those type of energy shows is like what I
the
live
best,
for.
The best, dude.
Yeah.
The best. I saw Wu-Tang, whatever, whoever is still in Wu-Tang, mm-hmm. by myself in L.A. at the Palladium. And
I've smoked with like almost every Wu-Tang.
How was Method Man? He's always my favorite.
I just got high with him. He's
dude.
Dope, yeah.
He was the best.
I opened up for him. That was my first big show here.
With
opened up for him and Meth.
No way.
And
Red.
Yeah,
yeah,
Red.
And Red,
me.
Yeah.
And Red. A funny thing, too. I don't mean to cut you off. Red.
No.
Red kind of grew up here in
really?
Cincinnati. Not a lot of people know this.
Didn't worry about that. What?
So his mom, my mom's best friend, God bless her soul, she's passed away. Her mom used to basically, okay, so when Red Man was a baby,
uh-huh.
he was born in Alabama. That's why his first album's called Muddy Waters.
Okay.
So he was born in Alabama, and his mom was, like, young. She had to move up here. So she moved up here with my mom's friend's family. So when I was, like, 8 years old, I went to a family reunion, and I met Reggie.
Oh, my God, no way.
Right as he was blowing up. And
oh,
then
my God.
She used to tell me, like, you know that's Reggie, like, like, you'd have met him before when you was a kid. Like, I'm like, are you fucking serious?
What?
So, opening up for Meth and my first show, I got to talk to him backstage. I'm like, yo, I was a kid and I met you at a family reunion.
Dude, like, that's
when
so
when I was
cool.
like seven. He was like, yo, I remember that family reunion. Like, he remembered it. Like,
yes.
He didn't remember meeting me, but he remembered the family reunion. I'm like, I went back and told my mom, like, yo, I talked to Red Man. He, like, remembered that family
yes.
reunion. Like, so, like, the little things like that tell me, like, yo, you supposed to be doing this. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those are those little sparks. Like,
yeah.
Keep going. Stay on the path. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And were they good guys to me?
They were just regular, cool dudes.
Red and Meth were always just my favorite. As
yeah.
a kid, I was just, something about them, I just really,
watching
really loved
How
them.
High and shit. I used to watch that, and we used to watch. There's a concert documentary series called Backstage with from Jay-Z and Rockefeller, but Meth the Man and Red Man are on it, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
It's the, what tour is that? The Hard Knock Life tour.
Yeah.
And I watched that every fucking day for an entire summer once. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like,
no, I really want to get on it. I'm like, oh my God.
Backstage and streets is watching.
Oh my God. Do you remember when Cribs was a thing?
Yeah.
And then.
And Crib in, oh no, listen, I know where that Crib is in Staten Island. I already know what you're going to talk about. That was he really lived there. We used to see him drive. I lived in Staten Island when that was filmed. So he would be driving around Staten Island random as shit, like regular's hill, like going
yeah.
to a grocery store. And I'm like 21 at the time. So it's like, I've never been starstruck, but that just always amazed me. Like,
yeah.
could you see these people on TV? And back then, this was pre-internet. So stars were more like, it was more of an enigma about
yeah,
them.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I would see this motherfucker just driving around Staten Island. Like,
yeah.
they're a rare man. Like, oh, fuck. He had a little black Benz.
This is the coolest thing in the world. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
I knew exactly what you're going to say when you said that.
When he goes, he's playing the
But they wanted him to, that was his real shit, though. Like, that was his little, it was his go-between crib. Like, he from Jersey.
That's what
And,
I,
like, you got, he do a lot of business in New York. Driving
yeah.
back and forth takes a lot. So, he just got his little apartment in Staten Island.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I figured as a kid. But it
yeah.
was cool. So, just to.
They wanted him to rent some shit. And he was like, fuck that. Like, he's
yeah.
a real nigga.
So, there was an MTV Cribs episode, and he had this, like, just like shitty apartment. And really he was like, welcome. And he was it had like a nice TV and a bunch of video games, a box full of cash. And he was just so real about
it. Not the spot, man. Yes. I just seen an interview with him recently. Like Branson is this dude. Well, he was like the weed dealer for the Stars in New York back in the day. He just found a bag of weed, a Branson weed that he had like in some storage from the 90s. Like, that shit's got to be fire.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
He was on video like, man, I was at my mama house. She was going through an old box. She found the old bag of Branson weed.
Oh, my God.
He found a bag of weed from the 90s in storage.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I've had, like, even those moments, like,
yeah,
smoking fucking weed with Red Man and Method Man.
Like, oh, my God.
This is crazy.
That's awesome.
I just got to smoke with Snoop, and then that'll be like, I've smoked a Wiz. I smoked with Meth Red. I just got to smoke with, like, Cheech and Chong.
I'm trying to get
the whole smoke trilogy, like, smoke with all the big dog smokers.
Which one is it? Is it Cheech who has all the restaurants in L.A.?
He's
accessible.
He is accessible. L.A., shit, we were just, not too long ago, me and my wife were basking at Robbins, and the lead singer of Buck Cherry walked in with his daughter.
How do you even know who that is?
My wife does. She's like, sometimes you see people and you're like, something about this person.
Yeah.
Like, and I kind of had that feeling, but then I just kind of waved it off. And then we get back in the car and she goes, she's like on her phone. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, yep. And I'm like, what do you mean, yep? She's like, that's the lead singer of the Buck Cherry. First of all, I'm like, who the fuck is Buck Cherry? She's like, you crazy bitch. But I'll say, okay, I know that song. She's like, yeah, that's him. Like, he's just in there buying fucking ice cream with his daughter. Like, and driving a minivan.
I love moments like that.
He's married to a fucking model, too.
Oh, well, duh.
Yeah. He's just driving a minivan. But that's L.A., like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, of course, he probably owns more cars than that. But
yeah, dude.
Seeing people in their element like that, just regular as hell.
Yeah, dude. I would see so many people I lived in West Hollywood, like, right in between,
West
Hollywood, sure. Sunset, you know. It's like there's a Whole Foods
Melrose.
And Trader Joe's on every single.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I'd go to, like, I lived on Formosa.
Okay.
And so I was just there in the mecca of it.
I love that area.
All day. It was fun. It was so much fun.
Pot in that area.
It was really hard. I'm not a weed gal, never have been, but I did work in weed for a long time because I needed money.
That's what I keep telling my wife, like, when we fully moon, like, yo, just get a job at a dispensary if you get bored. She don't smoke or nothing either.
Mm-hmm. It makes it easy. Like, I don't know. I feel like I was a great trimmer and a great employee because I was always straight.
I noticed in dispensary out there, they always hire attractive females because it's like, it's like a bartender thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and they're flirty. They're super flirty. You go to Cookies on Melrose and I'm like, girl, you better, if I wasn't single. single, like, you know what I'm saying?
But everyone in L.A. is, like, freaking model, maxim model girl. I'm not like, well, I didn't work in dispensaries. I worked in the actual production.
Oh, you worked in the production, like the grow houses and shit like that?
Yes.
Okay.
And a bunch of, I mean, everyone at West grows weed. And I would just, like,
weed's like cigarettes out there, man. Like, when I first started going to L.A., like, I was, like, talking to this dude. And, like, me and my boy were walking down the street. We were in Hollywood. We were on Sunset, as a matter of fact. We're walking out Sunset, and this dude was smoking a blunt, and I just passed him. I'm like, yeah, you got the right idea, man. And he just laughed, whatever. We walked down a little farther, and it was outside this hotel, so we sat down on his ledge. The dude just gets up and walks down. He's like, here, you want to hit this, man? So we just get to smoking. Then he's, like, pulling out weed out of his pocket. Like, here, man, just take it. Like, man, welcome to L.A. type shit.
Right?
Like,
there's
go,
so
okay,
much.
That's how it does. That's how they do it around here.
People always ask about that, at least me, but since I've never, like, been in it, I'm like, I never bought weed. I wasn't
it's
part of my
buying,
life, but it was just everywhere.
It's
I'm used
weird
to being
buying
everywhere.
Weed legally. Like, it's so liberating. The first time I did it, I was like, I walked out like, the police are about to tackle me? Like, this is weird. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm a chick, so girls don't pay for drugs at
all.
They don't,
especially, and that's one thing I learned on tour, too. Like, I used to have to do this for Mac. I used to have to be like, because I was 10 years older than them dudes, so they were, like, wiling some nights. I'm like, I'm trying to just chill tonight, guys. Like, so anyways, I wound up being a dude that used to have the ID to girls to get on the bus and shit like that. So I used to see some crazy shit. And I seen one time I get off one of the buses and it's these two kids. And they're like in high school standing there. And I'm like, it's after the show. Like, we'd have to be in the parking lot. Like, the bus will stay in the parking lot and then we have like a 6 a.m. bus call.
Yeah.
And then like you get 6 a.m. the bus is pulling off and going to the next city. So we just hang out in the parking lot all night. Like, either we're on the bus or we might get off the bus and hang out. outside the bus or whatever. So I get off one of the buses, and these kids are in there. It's late. I'm like, what the fuck are fans still doing here? And they're like, hey, man, is Mac on the bus? And I'm like, on that particular bus, he wasn't on that bus. There was some girls on that bus. And if the back of the door is closed, you know what's going on back there. Yeah. So the back of the door was closed on that particular bus. So I'm coming off, and he's like, they're like, yeah, man. One of the dudes is like, yeah, my sister's on that bus. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, your sister's on that bus? So your sister is on a tour bus and left her little brother outside while you just sitting here waiting. She's doing godforsaken things on this tour bus right now.
Yeah.
And I don't say that shit. I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, you think Mac's going to come off? And I'm like, I felt bad. So I go to the other bus with Mac. I was like, Mac ain't even on that bus, guys. So I go to Mac's bus. And I'm like, hey, dude, this fan's still outside. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, one of them's sister's on the other bus. And he's like, I don't know, he's like a high school kid. He's like, shut the fuck up for real.
Oh my God.
And this is one thing Mac taught me. Like, well, this is a moment. In my mind, I ain't getting off that bus if I'm him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Mac Miller. Well, I ain't going to get off the bus. And I already did the show. He's like, he goes, I'm like, yeah, they want you. They asked if you'd come out for a picture. And I just asked him because I told them I'd ask him. And I felt bad. So I was like, I'll ask. Usually I'd be like, yeah, I'll ask him and then don't ask.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But I felt bad. So I was like, yeah, they want to know if you'd come out for a picture. And in my mind, like I said, everything in me thinks he's about to say no. He's like, oh, man, I got to go now. Like, and he went off the bus and he took a picture with him. You know what
Heck
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm still friends with those kids to this day.
They
were in high school then. Now they're out of college. One's a sports agent now.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah. I got him to meet his hero, and we've just been friends ever since like that. Dude, but there was a kid whose sister wasn't on the bus.
Yeah.
And we joked to this day. I'm like, dude, that kid's sister was on the bus.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, dude. So what's coming up next? I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about, if you can tell us, you said you have more placements coming up. Where can we expect to hear more Santino vibes?
Right now, Les Mills is, I guess it's some workout. This is like Peloton.
Cool.
It's kind of like that, but it's like they got on-demand things. Like, you can go on-demand. They have, like, grit classes and, like, hit cardio classes. They're using Notorious and GOAT right now.
Using their
grit class. My wife had, like, ordered it on the TV, but like you gotta sit through a whole workout. I'm like, I'm not looking for this. I'm not sitting through a 40. I should be working out, but I'm sitting here watching the workout. Like, I'm about to work out. I'm trying to find my song. But it's on that. Hopefully a bunch of NFL stuff, because once they kind of start using your stuff, they kind of use it for the whole season.
Nice.
My big goal is to get a couple movies under my belt, because movies are forever. The NFL stuff's cool, but this is kind of that day. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get a video of it and can save it from my archives. But you get something in a movie, that shit is forever. It's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Is there more money in the movies?
Way more money in the movies, and way more money. National commercials and movies. Trailers are the big payout.
Ooh, I would say both of your songs, GOAT and Notorious, which you guys can all stream.
Notorious,
everywhere.
We already have.
That is, I mean, those are trailer worthy songs.
Yeah, Notorious, we already actually have. Like, you have to have a trailer composer rearrange the song. So we already have it rearranged in trailer form. It's crazy. Like, I'm even that, like, I'm like, wait, y'all about to send me what? The trailer version of the song? And so I'm like, I got trailer versions.
You just
got
to wait for it to get picked up, you know?
So we got the, I guess, you know, got to work for the label, goes into these networks, like, what do you guys need? And they're like, well, we got these shows. And then, like, Chelsea Perkins, who's signed to the label, too, she's got some songs coming up in Grownish, the show Grownish on ABC. Which I'm like, yeah, I always hit her up like, well, those are forever. You know what I'm saying? Those episodes are gonna be forever. But that was cool. But yeah, I want to get something in. My big goal is to get something in, like, All American, shows like that.
Word. Like that. I haven't seen the show, but and you have okay. So your album South City, The Vibes, is Therapy the most recent one, or is that a double? You have a double.
South City was my very first one.
That's crazy.
Therapy was like, I did that in 2018.
Gotcha.
And then The Vibes and all that, or Tales from the Trap Side and The Vibes, I did in 2019.
Gotcha.
And I was doing those. Like, I kind of already knew about my deal. Like, I had been offered a deal. It's just the paperwork stuff was going through. So I was just dropping music. I still record on my own stuff. That's what I was doing yesterday.
Gotcha.
But lately I've been like recording and they'll hear what I've been doing online on my IG story and they're like, send me that, the label. I'm like, all right, but that's more money for me because it's more me worked on the song. But yeah, just dropping music and new content. We got a new video that we shot.
Oh my God, yes, it was so good.
I'll show you. I can show it to you on my phone now. But
only the clips are online. Only the clips are online.
I can show you the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah,
bad.
Only the clips are online. Yeah, but
ew,
I can show you the whole thing.
It was dope. Yeah, dude, it was so good.
Yeah, and that was fun. We did that. We shot that guerrilla style in LA, which is always fun.
Yeah.
So we were going to shoot it out in the desert, but with timing, we didn't get where I was going to drive out to fucking Death Valley.
Uh-huh.
It's about a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to do it, so we found this place in Topanga Canyons that was like a new subdivision they're building.
Uh-huh.
So we just went to the part of the subdivision that ain't there yet. Like, so if like you see us on camera, but behind us, it's like houses being built. But we made it look like the desert. You know what I'm saying?
You did a great job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that it is.
And there was a bulldozer there, so I'm like, let's use the bulldozer.
Dude, I thought it was Mad Max.
Somebody,
style,
yeah, my boy, I sent him the video. And he's like, dude, you rented a fucking bulldozer? I'm like, nah, that's Hollywood movie magic.
Yeah,
baby.
Right?
Yeah, and then we were staying in the, my photographer Wiggy came, and Lunar, obviously my video dude, so Wiggy's like, she's a diva, so she's like, I'm getting a hotel. And I'm like, all right, that's cool, because usually I stay friends or Airbnb or whatever. And she's like, I'm getting a hotel. I'm like, she got it in the International, which is the tallest building in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, let's fucking shoot some shit here. So we used a lot. We shot a lot of shit in there.
That's what you
and then,
said.
Like, a bunch of scenes in that. It was funny. We're about to do it behind the scenes of this shit. I don't know if we got this part on camera, but we were shooting, and we were in this place we really weren't supposed to be in.
Because
Lunar found, like, he wakes me up one morning, like, 6 a.m., he had already been, like, out scouting in the hotel, like, super early because he was up on the East Coast time.
Uh-huh.
And he wakes me up. He's like, hey, come on. I found this secret room we can shoot in. I'm like, all right, come on. So we shoot. And, like, literally the last take we were doing, the dude walks in like, hey, you guys can't be in here. We're like, thank you. We're done.
Yeah. So dude, and those shots turned out great. Those are the ones shots that are in the trailer of it and the clip online.
Yeah, so. And it's, like, 7 a.m. and we made it look like it's sunset.
Sunset.
But it's really sunrising. Yeah. But I'm like, if people know LA, they would know it's sunrising because of where the sun's positioned.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Well, man, thank you so much, Santino.
Thank
where
you.
Can we? Where can everybody find all your stuff?
Everywhere online, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Shazam. It's at Santino Corleone, S-A-N-T-I-N-O-C-O-R-L-E-O-N.
Right, I'm like, follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, but it's all at Santino Corleone. And then my 83 Sound Music is all under Santino, which is no Corleone.
Okay. Yeah. All right, guys, well... Dude, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I can't wait for you to come back and do this again. And hear
anytime.
Your story, can't y'all tell there's so much depth to it that I'm like, I can't even touch on that.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do like a 10-part series.
Yes. All right, man. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been Person of Interest with Natalie Jones.